Oh my gosh. Okay, so I sent you the article about the invisible shields for the army tanks.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so I talked to my brother and I found out that apparently these cost tens of millions of dollars.
Okay.
And because I asked him if I could get one for myself.
Right.
And his first response is, when I make my first billion.
There you go.
I was like, they're that expensive? Anyway, I guess it doesn't actually make the tank look invisible.
Oh. Well, that's fine. The shield itself is invisible, right?
Yeah, well, the shield is a clear shield, but what it does is it fires small munitions to destroy incoming threats.
Can it destroy incoming conversation from Uber drivers? Is that part of the incoming threats that this thing is able to defend against?
No, I'm sorry. The shield does not work for that. So
I guess I should have read the article, because all I did was look at the photos of this, and I was very excited about this technology, because it looks like the photos in the article make it look like it's actually like an impenetrable shield, that like a dome that's just surrounding the tank, which is awesome. That's what I want for me. Like, I want a people dome, like a people bubble that expels people. I've thought about like getting almost like a bubble boy outfit or something along those lines that really communicated that, you know, like proceed with caution or something, or like a hazmat suit. Like, that would be something, I think. I mean, it's like I had another one of these things last night. I had another Uber driver experience where, and this guy gave me like, so I got into the car and this guy started talking to me. He's like, first asked about the rock. He's like, do you like this? Is it cool if I play this music? You know, it's rock or whatever. And I was like, no, man, it's all good. And then he gave me an out. He asks me one other question. He's like, oh, you going to dinner? And I was like, yeah. And then he goes, yeah, well, anyway, you know, I like to be conversational with my passengers, you know, unless you don't want to talk. And he kind of like left it there where I could have opted out of talking to him. But this was another one of those like unexpected scenarios where I didn't have an answer prepared. I was so shocked and so ready to respond.
What
to
did you say?
I said, oh no, man, I love talking to, you know, I love chatting, like, or whatever. Like, I kept the conversation going because
you,
I don't think
not.
I could have. Yeah, I totally did. I was like, oh no, man, it's all good. And then he's like, so like, do you work? What do you do? And like started down that kind of path. But I don't think that as much as I didn't want to like have a whole, and the other thing too, is that this ride was like a 25 minute ride or something. Right. So like right in the beginning, he gave me the option to sort of opt out. But I sat there and like did the calculus on it, and I was like, I think the discomfort from the pregnant silence, like if he was like, unless you don't want to talk, and if I was like, actually, I'd prefer not to talk, thank you, and then it was just quiet, I feel like that pregnant silence would be more uncomfortable than just enduring the conversation itself, you know?
Well, what if you just said like, oh, you know, I normally would love to talk. As a matter of fact, I talk all the time on my podcast, but I have some work to do, so if you don't mind.
But then I have to go through the motions of, because what I want to do is just sit there and silently look out the window. Like, that's all I really, and the other thing too is that I didn't have my AirPods in. I didn't wear headphones or anything. I was like, you know, I'm trying to be a little less like expel the world when I'm out, and I've been, because like the weather in Los Angeles has been unbearable, and so like when I'm out in the world, like lately, I like to like not have like music or a podcast on. I like to just sort of experience what's going on and be present in the moment or whatever. So like I had this attitude going into the Ubers. I was just unprepared and had no preoccupation. So if I was just like, I don't want to talk, I would sit there and just kind of look out the window instead of like maybe working on a laptop or a phone or whatever.
Yeah.
But then it causes me to have this whole like identity crisis. So it's like the guy asks a question probably just to be accommodating. I don't think he was trying to instigate like a whole like internal debate for myself. But I sat there and I'm like, is this like, am I less masculine or something because I went along with this conversation instead of just being like, no, I don't want to talk, or like, actually, I don't like your music, like turn it to some station that's not like hippie rock or whatever. You know, like there are all these things that they offer you, like, oh, you want me to put the windows up? You want me to turn the music down? You want me to turn the air up? Like all this stuff that people often ask when you kind of get in there. And more often than not, I just don't, like, I'm just like, nah, I'm good. But I feel like more, I don't know if assertive is a word to use, But like somebody more assertive would get in there and be like, let's turn the volume to 6. Let's get the air at like 72 windows up. That and would I be think me. That this is the extent of the conversation we need to have. And then like, thank you. You know, like, is that the right move? Is that acceptable?
It seems with you could just be polite. I mean, if you're especially if you're why torture yourself? You know, if you have a long drive, like a 20 minute. God. You know, plus drive, why not just say, oh, you know, I have some work to do if you don't mind.
But then, but that's,
then you're not
that's
being rude, kinda, yeah. But then you're,
but then you gotta like, but is it then okay to sit there and just zone out? Because that's really what I want to do. Or do I have to actually pretend to start doing work then?
I mean, how's he going to know if you're on your phone working? Unless, you know, you're in the front seat, like you were at the one driver.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortunately, this one, I got into the back seat and I was like, so far, so good. Yeah, and then he hit me with the like, so what do you do question. Which is another thing where it's like, is this, I mean, I guess people generally talk about, like, that's kind of like a thing that people talk about. Like when you meet somebody at like a networking thing or whatever, like you talk about the weather or you talk about the thing and then you start talking about what you do, I guess. But like, I don't like talking about what I do. I don't want to like talk about where I'm going or what I do for a living or like how long I've been in Los Angeles, like all these things. Like, I feel like it's private. I don't know if it's like a private thing. I don't know who's the weird one. Am I the weird one or is the driver the weird one for like wanting to know this information or like making it conversational? You know, these are the things that like go through my mind when I'm sitting here trying to just get from A to B without hassle, you know?
And that's why you need the autonomous Tesla.
We need autonomous Teslas and their autonomous cars, period. I saw that other article you sent too about how autonomous vehicles are going to make longer commutes feasible.
Yeah.
Which was kind of interesting.
I mean, but if you think like how do you see, you know, like how do you see the world changing with this?
Well, I hope that
happening.
You know, the thing about, I hope that basically what they're saying is that what this article I think is predicting is that like your commute won't become any shorter time-wise. Like, you'll still spend 60 minutes commuting every day. It's just that the radius that you can travel in is going to be 3 times larger, which to me isn't like, what is then why are we building technology? Like, if it's not going to like free up time or make things more efficient or whatever, what is the point of like building technology? I was listening to something a while back that was talking about how, you know, 'cause like, think about it, like how many productivity apps and all kinds of ways to make us more productive with technology, how many tools and apps and services there are, but everybody's still working the same amount of time every week. Like, when I imagine a better future or a brighter future as a result of technology, it is that we're spending less time, less of our waking hours working, commuting, running errands, like any of that stuff. That would be innovation to me in terms of like making life better, like accomplishing more while still giving up 60 hours of your week to work and like errands and stuff doesn't really seem like a brighter future, I guess.
No.
One thing that will be cool though, I mean, like the idea, so I guess my hope is that instead of like us being able to, everybody is still commuting the same hour every day, like I would hope that everybody's commutes are reduced to like 20 minutes, right? So that instead of spending 2 hours on the road every day, you get a whole hour and almost a half to spend with like your family or doing anything but commuting or working.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about autonomous vehicles is going to be that there will be, once there's like a sort of like saturation, like once the majority of vehicles on the road are autonomous, I think there's going to be a lot less congestion and traffic, and things will move like way faster, like hundreds of miles an hour, maybe. Like you could get, like if a car could, like if your Tesla can or your electric vehicle can drive at like 100 or 150 miles an hour, there will probably be like autonomous car lanes where that's the just like average speed, kind of like the Autobahn, but like even faster, because cars, they can communicate with each other and kind of maneuver and do all this stuff that you can never trust a human being with. So that's kind of exciting. And then I think we'll reclaim a lot of land. I don't know how much land is taken up by parking and like parking garages and just parking period, but all of that infrastructure to support idle cars, essentially, it will probably free up over time. Like, cars will probably never, like, autonomous cars that are networked, like a Tesla and these types of vehicles, are probably never going to be, like, in a resting state. They'll either be driving their owners around, or they'll be driving other passengers around, like, in a service mode. So there aren't going to be a lot of cars, like, parked. That's going to be, like, an old-fashioned thing. Like, there used to be, like, places where you could, like, hook up a horse, you know, in front of, like, your local market or whatever, and, like, parking spots will kind of go the way of, like, whatever those are called, horse stands.
Horse stands.
Horse posts. I don't even know what they're called.
Yeah, with, like, it's such with a distant all thing, electric, you know? Plugs and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they'll just be out running fares around, not asking people if they're on their way to dinner and where they work and things.
So what's going on with Spotify? Is Spotify too big to fail, or is subscription-based music streaming doomed?
Nobody's too big to fail. Or at least, I mean, there's no music streaming service that's too big to fail. And it seemed like it's so difficult to build, especially technology businesses, but any kind of business in the music industry. Like, it's...
Why is that?
Savage. Well, because there's so much... there are so many stakeholders who all have rights to music and the back catalogs and all of this stuff. And so, like, Spotify's problem is that they're paying an enormous marginal cost for like royalties. Like, every time you stream a song, like, the songwriter gets paid, the artist gets paid, the recording, like, the record label gets paid. Like, it's so expensive to compensate royalty holders or compensate the IP holders that it's impossible to build. I mean, it's like Spotify lost $1.5 billion last year, right? They have like 71 million subscribers. I think like paying subscribers. Wow. You might have to fact check me on that, but
no, that's right. I mean, that's what the article says.
Yeah. But
how do you lose $1 billion and stay in business?
That's because they're, it's, well, that's the thing. I mean, that's why they're, so the another interesting thing about this whole Spotify situation is that they're doing a direct listing. They're not doing a traditional IPO. So, like, usually when companies go public, the whole process of going public and selling those shares out to investors is usually handled by an investment bank, like an underwriter, like Morgan Stanley or Goldman Sachs or JP Morgan. Like, these kinds of companies are the ones who facilitate the process of setting a share price. And then even and buying, like, receiving blocks of shares from the company and then selling those shares out to their own investor distribution channels, essentially. And Spotify is not working with any underwriters. They're just directly listing their shares on the marketplace. And they're going to, and like, I'm trying to grok, like, why they want to do this strategically. And I guess the biggest upside is that you save, like, I don't know, like, whatever, what, like, underwriters, I think, get paid, like, 8% or 10% of like, the IPO as fees for the process. And I'm wondering if that, like, Spotify is losing so much money and cash is so tight that maybe they don't want to, like, that's actually a material cost to doing a public, like, an IPO. And so that's why they're doing a direct listing. But and maybe they can pull it off just because they have such brand recognition and awareness. I mean, like, that article, or, like, the fact that Spotify is doing a direct listing was a headline in every financial publication that I've seen, like, all around. So it's like the entire investor community is aware of them doing a direct listing. So maybe they don't need that, you know, all the things that an underwriter would provide as part of that process. But it looks like a terrible business. I don't understand at all how this becomes a good, profitable business. As long as the supply of, like, content, like the music that the whole thing is built on, is being supplied by record labels who own all the rights to everything and who are demanding, like, royalties and all that stuff, I just don't get it. Like, it's like customers
and
pay
they obviously
Spotify
don't
a
care
dollar.
If Spotify stays in business, right?
No, they don't care, especially
to reduce royalty payments.
Yeah, no, not they don't care at all, because there's Apple Music is out there competing for it. You know, there's there are a lot of streaming services, you know. And the thing is, I think Apple Music actually surpassed Spotify in some kind of meaningful stat last year, like maybe user growth or something like that. Like Apple has really been pushing Apple Music, and it's starting to overtake Spotify in subscription growth. So it's not even like the... In some ways, you could probably debate that like they're the best streaming service, or like the most valuable or important streaming service. But it's like, I just don't see how this becomes a great business. You know, I think they've tried to get into podcasting a little bit. Like, in fact, I think you can find our podcast on Spotify. And I think that they tried maybe to get into video or something. I don't recall what their video efforts were, but I do think that there was some kind of talk about that. And neither of those businesses were really successful for them. So they're kind of beholden to the music industry. And it's just like, as long as that's the case, I don't understand how this becomes a good business. Like who's investing in this? I just don't get it.
No, they're going to have to come up with some, I don't know. They're going to have to come up with some other way to make money, sell something else, do something else.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if artists could directly list on Spotify, you know, as long as record labels are the ones who are making the music available to them, they're like beholden to them. There's no way to get around that. So I probably won't be buying any Spotify. What about you? No. Are you in, Miriam?
I'm not in.
Miriam's out.
I'm like, you're losing $1 billion a year. Let me do the math on my return.
Right. And that's the thing. I didn't read the filing statement, like the F-1, but I felt like if there was anything in there where it was like, here's, like, I thought I would read a headline from somebody who would be like, here's the surprising way Spotify is going to turn it all around.
Yeah.
And I didn't see anything like that. It's just like, yeah.
No, it says that it's primary.
A day. They lose $8 million a day.
It's insane.
Yeah. It's so much money.
Their SEC filing said that their primary growth strategy is to penetrate new markets and expand its subscriber base.
Yeah.
But then you're still paying more royalties because there's still just more music going out.
That's the thing. It's like scale doesn't solve this problem. Like your unit economics are the ones that are met. It's like the same kind of like charade as like the gig economy thing where Uber and everything, where it's like, well, the marginal cost is astronomical. Like you're losing money on every either like a ride or in Spotify's case subscription. And it's just like, well, we can just scale. And I don't understand with how their marginal cost like reduces with scale. It doesn't. It scales right up with revenues. So, and again, like I just don't see anything in here that indicates that they have a plan to get out of that. Maybe if they become the biggest thing ever and they have like a monopoly on streaming music, maybe that's the bet. Like they just become number one, and with that number one status, they can kind of dictate things. But I don't see that. I don't see a path to that at all.
Well, I hope they figure it out, or I hope someone steps in and helps them, because if they fail, it's just going to go to Apple or Amazon or Google, and, you know.
Oh, my God. I forgot. Amazon's
I really like Spotify. I want to see them win.
Really? What do you like about Spotify?
I like the service. I mean, they have excellent... So I switch back and forth, as we talked about before, which is why I don't pay for the service.
Right.
But because I switch back and forth and I'm not going to pay for 10. And so I've got to experience what they all have to offer. Yeah. And overall, I just feel like they have the best offering.
Spotify does an amazing job with playlists. Like
they really do.
Discover Weekly for me is always on point. Whenever I play that, I always find great stuff. I recently let my... So I got a HomePod. We can talk about that in a minute. But I got a HomePod. And HomePod has Apple Music. Is like built to only really work with Apple Music in terms of voice commands, at least. And so I let my Spotify subscription lapse and transition to Apple Music just to kind of like feel that out. And the playlists on Apple Music leave a lot to be desired, for sure. But I'll tell you what, the ads on Spotify are brutal. I don't understand at all how you can deal with that.
It's I don't have a comparison.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just like it's very disruptive, I guess, is the problem for me.
Yeah.
But Apple Music definitely is a little bit behind Spotify when it comes to playlists and stuff like that. But beyond like having better curated playlists, at the end of the day, is there enough differentiate? Like, what's the like? What else could like differentiate streaming services? You know what I mean? At a certain point, it's like whoever has like they all seem to have more or less the same music catalogs. Like, it's pretty rare that you find something on one that you can't find on the others. At least in my case. Because I guess like Apple probably has like the Beatles exclusively, yeah. Maybe. So do you like do exclusives? I guess you're not like buying any of these, so it's difficult to to have the conversation about like where dollars get spent when it comes to like streaming services.
They'll have to figure something out. Yeah. Tell me about the HomePod. How do you like it?
You know, HomePod is really this. Everything that what all the reviews said were very accurate, which is that it's like super impressive sound. It's a really, it's surprisingly small. You know, it's a little, I think, bigger than maybe an Amazon Echo would be, but it's still pretty small. But the thing about the sound is it puts out like crazy good sound, in particular like bass. And I think it has a bunch of speakers and it does this crazy beam forming stuff where it separates out like, I don't know anything about sound, like channels or tracks or like there are different things that are, like are happening simultaneously in a song. It seems to route those different layers to different speakers, right? So like applause and like crowd stuff seems to go into like one speaker, and then like music and vocals go into like another speaker, and it's balanced and like really clear and amazing when it comes to just playback of music and sound and bass and all that. But as a smart speaker, it's awful. Like Siri cannot understand anything. I think that the majority of the things that I've asked it to do, it's misinterpreted, especially when it comes to like playing something. I'll be like, hey, like play this podcast or play this music, and it gets it wrong an infuriating amount of time, to the point where I just don't even really use the voice commands anymore. And then the other thing too is that like, and so like you can play Spotify, you can stream anything to the HomePod by just kind of like your from an iPhone from an iOS device, you can kind of go into like Control Center, and there's this new button that lets you like send your sound to different places. Like you can send your sound to like your AirPods or the speaker or like the iPhone or whatever. And so any app, like you can send music to the HomePod just by sort of like setting it as the output device for your audio. So you don't have to subscribe to Apple Music to listen to music on the HomePod. And in fact, I prefer to manage the music from like the app instead of like talking to it, you know, to like adjust volume or to pause it or to like change the track progress, like to especially if I'm listening to a podcast, if I want to re-listen to like a section or move the audio around, like you can't do that really with the voice commands. So it's really good if you just want like a really good sounding speaker and don't really care about the voice stuff just yet. It's like I was the one thing that did kind of like when I first got it, though, I had forgotten that I had it, and I was doing like a Skype. This guy was demoing some software to me over Google Hangouts, and he I think I had my I didn't know when it was happening, if I had my camera on or not, and I still don't know because this was pretty embarrassing. Like this guy's doing his software demo, and I'm watching it, and he's talking, blah, blah, blah. And something he says, he never says, like, Siri's name, but he says something that triggers the HomePod.
Oh, my god!
And the HomePod doesn't make any noise. Like, it doesn't do, like, a boop, you know, and then, like, encouraging you to then, like, issue the command. It just listens and responds. And so, like, he says something, and then out of nowhere, this woman's voice is like in my room talking nonsense, and like I just wasn't expecting it. And because of like that baseness of the HomePod, like I have the HomePod sitting on my floor because I just went out and sort of like impulsively bought it without planning for furniture or anything like that. And so because it's like bass heavy and because it's such a strong speaker, like I could kind of feel like my back was to it and I can feel the vibration in the floor. And it actually felt like there was a woman in my room talking, like Siri talking back and answering this guy's question, but speaking like nonsense. So I kind of jolted up and like turned around and like assumed like a combat posture, just like getting ready to deal with whatever was going on in my room. Because like I live where I live in like my mind, I had completely forgotten that I bought this thing. And where I live, there are like a lot of, in Santa Monica and Venice, there are a lot of like, I don't know, like people with mental issues, like homeless people, people with like mental issues. And like on my block, every once in a while, there'll be somebody who's like having like a schizophrenic episode or something. And it's pretty scary. And my thought went immediately to like, one of these people is not only in my apartment, but like in my room. And so it was really kind of frightening. And anyway, I don't know if this guy saw me like spin up and kind of like have a whole reaction to it, but you gotta be careful because she'll kind of respond to stuff unprompted. I can just imagine. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that story. Mm. If you're enjoying the speaker, that sounds like at least, you know, like, cause like compared to a Bose, you know, as far as sound quality.
Yeah. That's the other thing too, is like, you know, I live in like a condo building, and I always have this concern. Like, I don't really listen to music because I'm concerned about my neighbors. Like, I don't want to bother Nate. Like, that's really annoying, is to have a neighbor or somebody in the vicinity of where you live or work that's like loud or distracting or who's like otherwise kind of just a disturbance. And this speaker is really loud, and like the whole, like if I play like music, like hip hop or like electronic dance music or something, like it feels like you're in a club. Like the floor is vibrating and bass is going everywhere and it's loud and all this stuff. Like in the first week or two that I had it, I was listening to it and I saw one of my neighbors kind of, he was like left the building, he's on the lower level, and he like left the building and like looked up at my balcony trying to like get a sense of where the sound was coming from. And so I'm like concerned about really enjoying it or like opening it up because I don't want to disturb my neighbors. You know, it's like it's like driving like a sports car in an urban city setting where it's like, yeah, my car can go 300 miles an hour, but I just drive on city streets here, you know?
That's funny. Well, that'll be useful, you know, in the future for you.
Yeah. The other thing too is like I don't really listen to music all that much. I listen to podcasts way more than I listen to music, and it's a pretty decent speaker for podcasts, but it really shines with like music. Hmm. Do you listen to music when you work?
It depends how much focus the work requires that I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do sometimes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, if I'm sitting down at my desk, I'm generally doing something that requires, like, focus.
Yeah.
So I kind of do silence.
Well, I mean, when you're... And so is that a distraction for you, though? Music? Like, when you're coding, for example?
It depends. It can be. It can be. When there's, like... It's so variable because it depends, I think. I don't know. Do you have, like, sometimes if I'm in, like, a creative mood and I can just, like, easily slip into a flow state where I'm just super productive and in the zone and just, like, I can usually have, like, music on, or more often than not I'll have, like, either a podcast, or sometimes if there's, like a TV series or something, I'll just, like, kind of, like, have a TV series playing in the background on an iPad or whatever, just to kind of, like, add some sound to the room or just to have, like, something kind of going on. But my ability to, like, be focused and creative, I find is really variable. Like, I don't know if people...
That's interesting. I would have guessed that you could easily have music on and might even enjoy that.
I tend to. It depends on, it's kind of like you said, like, I mean, there are sometimes, there are some like program, like, especially when it comes to like programming or engineering, sometimes you're kind of just doing something that's very straightforward, and other times you're doing something that requires like really deep thought. So
deep thought, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're spending a lot of time just kind of like cleaning up a bunch of code, like that's a good time to like play music. But if you're designing something from scratch or trying to solve a difficult problem, music can be distracting.
You know, back to that Spotify conversation. Why couldn't Spotify just have a division that's a label and offer artists a contract to like control royalties and supplement income?
They should. But you would think that, I was reading somewhere that,
I mean, they have a platform of listeners that gives them an immediate audience.
Right. I think that that would be the thing that could give them freedom and sort of like salvation as a business. But you would think that people at the record companies would also recognize that and be like, as part of our deal here, like you can't personally operate any label or any situation like that. You know, I would, if I were the record labels in a negotiation with those guys, I would stipulate something along those lines, right? Like, wouldn't you? And what are they going to say? No. It's like, okay, say goodbye to me and like the other major music labels.
Maybe not. I mean, they want royalties. They let everyone play their music. I'm sure they don't have a I can't imagine them having a contract with every single restaurant and every single gym and every single place. Like, oh, you can't become a label in order to play.
Well, I don't think they care about like restaurants, but in the case of negotiating with streaming music services like Spotify, like the one way that Spotify could get out of this entire nightmare that they're in would be to have their own artists, like they run their own, do exactly what the labels are doing. And so if I were a label and Spotify were coming to me begging for lower royalty rates, because the thing is, like, the like Spotify,
I'm gonna tweet Daniel and ask him.
Spotify has like no leverage whatsoever. I mean, like, even the listeners aren't really leverage in this case, because if they went away, all those people would just go right to, like you said, like Apple Music, Amazon, and whoever else, Tidal, maybe, if that's still a thing. Like it's kind of like is the word fungible? Like, it's, you know, like your music subscription choice is just, you can substitute it with really any other service out there. The playlists kind of thing, I mean, people would like miss their playlists and stuff, but ultimately it's like you can sub these things out. They're interchangeable. So yeah. Spotify has no leverage whatsoever. And whatever their current agreements are, like, they're locked into those record deals, I think, for at least another year. Like, whatever they're currently doing, I think they're locked into for at least another year or two. And if I was the record label, I would absolutely be like, and by the way, like, you can't have your own artists. Like, you can't do direct. And that's, you know, and that's really, I think, that could probably be why Spotify doesn't have a way for, like, an independent, as far as I know, like, if you're an independent artist, can you go to Spotify and, like, upload your album and make it available there? I think it all has to be done through record labels.
No. My niece did it. She uploaded her own music onto Spotify.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So how does she get paid?
I don't know. I'll have to ask her.
That's very curious. I mean, it's like if you're able to just, as an independent artist, go in there and like you get paid for your streams or something, that's pretty cool. I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not a business I would want to be in. I mean, I've dabbled in the music industry a little bit, and it's definitely ruthless. It's ruthless. And it's just, it's mostly because there's a lot of history there. Like, all the power has been kind of captured and secured in that industry, dating all the way back to when record labels were furniture companies. So there's not a lot of room for, like what... For new firms to sort of like come in and make a difference in the music industry, it requires like substantial societal or technological shifts, you know, like the advent of the internet and file sharing was a tectonic move large enough to cause the music industry to have to reshuffle a little bit. Mm. But even those, like, but even the catalog, like, even like what it, like, the, I know Napster still exists, but that was never a thing. Like, the disruptive services never seized power. Like, Spotify, as far as I can tell, and maybe I'm wrong about this, I'm not in the business, so it's like, take all of this with a grain of salt, but Spotify does not seem to me like they have captured a lot of power. Like, obviously they've captured value in that they're about to go public at, I think, like a $16 billion valuation, which is respectable. But I don't think they've captured real, like, power in the industry. I mean, can they, like, they can't influence stuff in the way that, like, Live Nation or record labels can.
I don't know if they've gained power in the industry, but having 159 million subscribers,
yeah,
gives you an audience to do something with.
Definitely. And that is absolutely true.
There's an element of power in that, right?
I guess so, but only...
I mean, that's how all businesses become successful. They all have this audience, and then what do you do with that audience?
I'd be really curious to see what their ad business looks like. You know, like how, like what the CPMs are like for their advertisers. And if that's like a really healthy business. And I'd also be interested to see what percentage of their subscribers are paying subscribers versus free subscribers.
Out of the 159 million subscribers, that 71 million were paying.
That's a pretty high amount. That's a pretty high amount.
But obviously, if advertising was, like, great for them, it would cover some of these costs, no?
Yeah.
I mean...
You would think so. You would think so. But, yeah, I wish them all the best. I hope it works out for Spotify, I guess. I've got friends who work there, and I hope that they all do well in stock-based compensation. Cut.